We have enough people here. I'd like to call together City of Franklin Common Council meeting for the Tuesday, March 15th. The time is now 6:36. Clerk, will you take the roll?
Mayor Olson is excused. Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer is excused. Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer is excused.
We have a quorum, and I'd like to say the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First, I'd like to announce for the record that I will be voting on all items on the agenda for quorum issues and for items of interest in my district.
As an alderwoman.
As an alderwoman. First item on the agenda is citizen comment period. Do we have any citizens that would like to speak? Please come forward to the microphone. Good evening.
My name is Emily Abel, and I work as a service coordinator at the Woods of Cedar Creek, which is located at 33rd and College. We were the ones that wrote the petition and have 77 signatures of residents in Franklin who are concerned about a sidewalk extending from the Woods of Cedar Village to 27th Street at College. I would like to talk about a few statements about the benefits of sidewalks. First and foremost is the safety of the residents of Franklin. There are health benefits. Sidewalks provide opportunities for walking, and studies have shown that people with access to sidewalks are more likely to walk and meet the Surgeon General's recommendations for physical activity. Physical inactivity contributes to incidents of obesity, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and certain cancers, and it carries a risk of burden close to that of smoking. But there are also economic benefits. A study by the Urban Land Institute shows home buyers are willing to pay more for homes in walkable neighborhoods. Real Estate Research Corps' analysis shows property values rise fastest in pedestrian-friendly areas. Also, sidewalks improve access to business and industry for employees relying on public transportation. Sidewalks improve customer traffic to retail businesses. Other benefits of sidewalks include reduced crime risk through increased pedestrian traffic, more eyes on the street, as promoted by the International Crime Prevention through Environmental Design Association. It also improves transportation access, an enhanced sense of community through better connections to neighbors and businesses. Decreased use of cars for short trips, saving gas and lowering emissions. The 1995 National Personal Transportation Survey found that 40% of car trips in the U.S. are less than 2 miles, short enough to be accomplished on foot or by bicycle if the infrastructure supports walking or biking. Cars have their poorest efficiency and so burn more gas during the first few miles of travel. Signatures of the resident of the Woods of Cedar Village strongly support a walkway along College Avenue to 27th Street for all of the above reasons. I'm holding in my hand a petition for a sidewalk on College Avenue to 27th. Currently, there are no sidewalks on either side of College Avenue for a pedestrian to safely walk to 27th Street. Many people, including the residents at the Woods of Cedar Village, walk on College Avenue to 27th Street to patronize our local businesses. A sidewalk on College Avenue from the Woods of Cedar Village to 27th Street is needed in order to provide safe transit for pedestrians. We, the undersigned, are asking Franklin Mayor Steve Olson and the council to provide a sidewalk for our safety. I'm hopeful that you all have this package as I did submit it last week.
We do. Thank you very much. Are there any citizens that would like to come forward? Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Patrick, and I'm one of the people that live at the
Mark, you want to help?
Village. I'm one of the people that live at the village, and as you can see, I'm confined to a medical chair to get around. I like to go out. I don't like to be confined to my apartment. But people driving up and down College Avenue, going east and west, I swear they don't think that there's a speed limit. And I've been almost hit a few times. Unfortunately, not there, but on 76th Street, I was struck and hit by a car trying to cross the street. I wish we did have a sidewalk, you know, because it is a hazard, and it's a great hazard. I was talking to the bus driver today for Transit Plus, and I was telling her about this meeting tonight, and she asked me to bring up one thing, and that was that, okay, with their buses, they have a mirror that sticks out quite a way. And she said that she almost knocked a pedestrian and a bicyclist off, you know, into one of the ditches along the road because they were that close to her vehicle. So, like I say, I know I'm repeating myself, but like I say, I don't want to get struck a second time. I don't want to see people that I know from the woods and that I've become very friendly with. I don't want to see them. And a lot of them are seniors. A lot of them are in their 70s, 80s. I mean, I'm in my mid-60s. But I don't want to see anybody getting hurt. And too many times, I've seen people coming very close to be hit. One incident I did have, I was coming home. I was going back to my apartment. And I was going by someone's house, and they have, like, gravel where they parked their car. Well, the guy had a feeling, or he must have thought, that I had no right being there. So he spun his rear tires and just walloped me with a tire full of stones. You know, so I mean, it's stuff that you go through like that. That is very hurtful, that. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak and send us a comment? Good evening.
Madam Chair, my name is Casper Green. I live at 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. And obviously, listening to my address, you can tell that I don't live in the area of the sidewalk that's being proposed. But you yourself, Madam Chair, have been complaining about not having a sidewalk there ever since you've been an alderman. And I give you credit for that because I've driven down College Avenue in that area, and it's a very narrow roadway. And people do take a chance on getting hit if they walk, and especially in a wheelchair. So I would think that the mayor and the alderman, the common council, should get together and get that sidewalk built, and we can stop the complaining. As Bernie Sanders said, I'm tired of hearing of the damn sidewalk. But he said emails. But nevertheless, another thing I'd like to talk about is item number 2. Would somebody briefly explain what that is and what the the authority is regarding Franklin when you come to dangerous weapons? Would somebody do that? Maybe the police chief?
Well, when that item comes up, we can have the police chief address that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other citizens would like to come forward for citizen comment period? Anyone else? Last chance? No one else? Okay, I'm going to close the citizen comment period. And we'll go on to the mayoral announcements. The first thing we have is proclamation in recognition of Fire Marshal Gordy Jepson for his 40 years of dedicated life and service to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community and of the people of the city of Franklin.
Of Gordy.
Like to have some of your family come up here and meet her.
This? Yeah. Oh, wait, this is it.
It's always been a pleasure having you and your face at meetings, and it's always been a friendly thing back when I was before I was even old.
Thank you.
Proclamation and recognition of the Fire Marshal Gordon Jepson for his 40 years of dedicated life and service to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community and of the people of the city of Franklin. Whereas Gordon L. Jepson has been a resident of Franklin for over 40 decades. For 4 decades. His life to raise his family and serving, helping, and protecting his neighbors, fellow firefighters, and Franklin citizens and visitors. And whereas Gordon L. Jepson has served his country with pride and honor in the United States Army. And whereas Gordon L. Jepson was appointed to the position of paid on-call firefighter in 1976. Bob Charlie served in that capacity for his 26 years responding to countless emergencies large and small, at all hours of day and night, in all weather conditions, and performing arduous, often dangerous tasks. And whereas Gordon L. Jepson was appointed to the position of fire inspector in 2002, and in that position was charged with identifying and correcting potential hazards to the life, safety, and property of Franklin residents and visitors, and to the health and safety of Franklin service personnel. Whereas Gordon L. Jepson has served with distinction from that position, and through his diligence, thoroughness, and persistence, earned the respect of his peers throughout the region, and was elected to serve as president of the regional branch of the Wisconsin Area Fire Inspectors Association, and was Gordon L. Jepson served in the position of fire marshal from 2007 until his retirement on March 2, 2016, where he continued to enforce the fire code with dedication, pride, and a passion for service to others, while Gordon conducted himself at all times with affable and courteous professionalism, and was well liked, honestly, and welcomed visits to the community that he served. He was uncompromising in his duties, never forgetting that the lives of Franklin residents were firefighters making in the balance. And whereas Gordy's 40 years of service to the community exemplifying the mission, vision, values of the Franklin Fire Company, and he truly served the community with courage, honor, and integrity. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that I, on behalf of the mayor also, of the city of Franklin, and all the citizens of the city of Franklin, hereby recognize and condemn the service of Gordon L. Jepson to the citizens of the city of Franklin, and wish the best in years to come. Presented this day by the Franklin Common Council, 15th of March, 2016.
Thank you so much for this recognition. I just thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to be a firefighter in the EMT, and also as a fire marshal. I will relish this for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
Okay. Good note for Gordy, sad note for Franklin. So, okay, let's move on to approval of the minutes for March 1st, 2016. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion approved. Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, if we jump to item number three, as long as we have people in the audience to deal with the sidewalk.
Yes. Well, first let me take the letters and petitions because I have a little bit
sure.
to add to that. So, since we don't have any hearings, we've passed minutes. Item F is letters and petitions, which was presented at citizen comment period. However, I did want to also add that I thought that was just such a great idea that they brought in 77 signatures. I went out and got 125 other signatures. So for a total of 202 signatures in favor of the walkway, and people couldn't wait to pull my clipboard out of my hand, and some of them said, can I sign 15 times, because they were so supportive of this project. It was probably the easiest thing I've ever done on collecting signatures. So there was only one gentleman who wanted a lot more information, and I addressed him to the city's website, and he wasn't opposed. So with that, we've had a request to go down to item G3 for the people that have been waiting for this item. A resolution to award a contract for the installation of the path on south side of West College Avenue from 500 feet west of 27th Street to south 35th Street. And we do have in front of us a new resolution that was drafted up, so calling that to your attention. And City Attorney.
Madam Chairman, if I just might explain in short the addition on the draft resolution before the Common Council this evening. It is with regard to the funding. Council members may recall that there were various alternative forms of funding with regard to this potential project. And what this addition to the resolution does is that it names four methods of potential payment in a hierarchy, if you will. Number one being the CDBG funding, and my recollection is that the number of approximately $65,000 is anticipated to be available. Number two, tax incremental district number three funds, which finance determined within the last month or so that funds would be available. And with regard to TID number three funds, we reviewed the project plan for that district. This sidewalk project area is within the half mile area, which authorizes projects with TID funding. The one little condition here, after reviewing the entirety of the plan, there's language within the project plan that states that the city retains the right to delete projects or change the scope and or timing of projects implemented without further amending the plan. But on page 15, it does have a condition for projects outside the tax increment district, meaning within that half mile area, which this is, that the city may undertake projects located within the half mile, provided that number one, it's located within the city boundaries, and number two, the projects are approved by the Joint Review Board, and the specific approvals with regard to projects outside of that area in the plan were street and utility improvements along 27th Street between Sycamore and College Avenue. So in terms of Joint Review Board, that does not specifically say anything beyond street and utility improvements on 27th Street. So the thought was Joint Review Board should be reconvened for approval based on those terms, as well as the Wisconsin statute cited, which would require that. And staff will arrange for that if this motion passes to occur. If the council so wishes, can make a separate motion directing that the staff obtain the convening of the Joint Review Board. Third category of fee payment is park impact fees. I advised the council probably late last fall, sometime impact fee funding would be available. Final conclusion on that after discussions with County Corporation Council and the like would be that it's simply an administrative permit which would be required. And that would allow for impact fee funding city-wise. And finally, the City Capital Improvement Fund balance, and council members may recall at somewhere in the neighborhood of $350,000 or more. We're already budgeted for this project, and now the bids have arrived last Thursday, less than one-third of that, in the amount of $118,000. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. There should be anticipated $65,000 from CDBG. There should be tax increment number 3 district funding, assuming the Joint Review Board approves it. If either of those fail, park impact fees could be used. And last would be city capital improvement funds.
Sure. Okay. Alderman Taylor.
Question. I'll make a motion to approve first off, but
if there's, I'll second.
Okay. First, second. I have a question regarding, is any of it being, any of the cost being incurred or being covered by the DOT project, the 27th Street project, or that, did that not?
Go ahead, City Attorney.
It's some distance, approximately 500 feet from 27th Street to the west, is being funded solely by the funding involved for the 27th Street project.
I appreciate
and
that.
Not city funds.
Well, I mean, this obviously is long overdue. I mean, we did start talking about this, what, in 2008, I'm guessing, Alderman?
Oh, yes.
And probably was something that people wanted prior to that. I remember getting the call last summer before I was. Was it last summer when I got the call from Mark asking our director of administration if I would support it at the county level, if it's a project I would support for community block grant dollars? And the answer was yes. And in conversations with county staff, made it clear that it's something I supported and that we would work with the city. It's unfortunate that this is really dragged on as long as it has. I mean, I've never really seen a topic so painful to sit in these chairs and deliberate when it's something that was necessary. It was something that the county was never going to do, and there was a need. And we did get money, some money from the county to start with. And I know the mayor's not here, and if he was, I'm not sure he'd be supporting this because, frankly, he has always said that this should be, the bill should be footed by the county, and there should not be any city dollars involved. And so to make sure that this moves on in an expedient manner, I would like this to be signed off tomorrow by the acting mayor who is sitting in that chair. And my question for the city attorney or would be, do we need to change where it says approved and strike the mayor and put, you do? I just want to make sure this gets signed. I don't want any delays. The people have been asking for it. Obviously, you've taken time to show up here. You know, over 200 people signing a petition. This is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Okay? Yeah, you can clap. We don't get that very often.
I'll be clapping right around the time with you if this passes.
So we have a motion. We have a second. I don't think we need to sit and debate this. We know this is necessary. As long as tomorrow we get this signed off on and we move forward and get this thing done.
So does your motion include changing the, be it therefore resolved, that the mayor changed to acting mayor and then the name would be
I did get a nod from the city clerk. I mean, I have no, would you need that in a motion or is that something that just standard procedure? I mean, when I was for 6 years council president, there was many times I signed off and then I wrote my name or they wrote my name under. So
I'd like to go first. We have
the clerk go first.
Clerk. What we will do is change the approved on the resolution to reflect Alderwoman Wilhelm's position and name. But the be it further resolved, and the city attorney can correct me, we would still leave the mayor and the city clerk because the contract has other elements that we let the contractor sign first. And so I guess I would recommend leaving the mayor in that paragraph, but we will change it so that she can sign it tomorrow if she's not going to be away.
That's acceptable to me.
Okay.
Sure, that's okay on my second.
City attorney?
Subject to city attorney review on the applicability of the 5-day time limit for mayoral veto. Not that I have any information whatsoever that would occur. but I understand the mayor is out of town on business, but would be back within those 5 days. So,
then the question that I would have is, if it's signed off by the acting mayor, is there a conflict there? I mean, I've never had a situation where, I mean, I said for 6 years I signed many things when Mayor Taylor was out of town, and never even thought about or contemplated the fact that he was going to come back and veto something, because normally when I signed stuff, we had talked about it. Here's a situation, though, where the mayor's position and that of the majority of this body have not been eye to eye. They've not been the same.
City attorney.
I never heard any information about a common council president signing any council action in the absence of the mayor. And the common council president is voting as an alderwoman at this meeting. So just want to make sure it gets done right to see if there's any case law on mayoral veto authority. If not present at the meeting, not change the resolution to.
Well, I do know that I signed off on numerous things in 6 years besides payroll checks and things for MMSD. I mean, so I know that there was times where I did not vote as an alderman and did sign off on items, you know, but.
I guess, in my opinion, I'm fine with changing that and adding my name, because I would like to make sure this gets signed. If there's been a couple other contracts that were delayed in signing, I want to feel confident that this is going to go through. And if the mayor would happen to veto this, I think there's way more than 202 people that would be pretty unhappy about that. So I'm comfortable with taking.
Plus, if we have four votes, four votes right here, there's right. There's enough to override anyway. So.
Right, Alderman Schmidt, did you have a question?
Well, this is obviously something that's been long overdue. It's kind of refreshing to be able to vote on a pathway that the constituents are all in favor of. So I hope that we can move forward. I think we have unanimous support here for this project, and. There certainly shouldn't be any basis for a veto to override our decision. So,
okay. Madam Clerk, could you read back the motion?
Alderman Taylor moved to adopt a resolution awarding the contract to Milwaukee General Construction Company, Inc. in the amount of $118,320.46 for the installation of a path on the south side of West College Avenue from 500 feet west of South 27th Street to South 35th Street, subject to review of the city attorney of the 5-day veto rule.
No, that's not in there.
He needs to make a correction. City attorney?
Well, I just heard the chairwoman say that subject to review of the city attorney is not in there. He's going to sign it, and that's the way it is.
Okay.
So that was not accepted.
Yeah, the motion is exactly as it was added. I add nothing else to it. I think the
except
city,
the signature.
That's it, right.
And this is the amended motion that's in front of us, mm-hmm. which does include the assertion that the city attorney brought forward on the funding.
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, the motion passes. Yes. It's been long awaited. Thank you very much for all your support, and hopefully we'll get that done before the end of the year. Please let everyone know at the Woods that signed. And okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go back to item G1, which is donations from Summit Credit Union to the fire department in the amount of $900.
Move to accept.
Second.
We have motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. G1B, donation from Rose Fang to the police department in the amount of $100.
Motion to accept.
Second.
We have motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. Item G2, an ordinance to amend Statutes 183-77 of the Franklin Municipal Code, possession of dangerous weapons pursuant to 2015 Wisconsin Act 149, limiting the local government unit authority to regulate possession of knives.
I'll make a motion to approve, but I think we should hear from the chief because we had a request from the audience.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a second. Chief, would you like to address a question that was presented earlier?
Yes, this is pretty much a housekeeping change in ordinance due to the fact that the state of Wisconsin passed the law last month to legalize the possession of switchblade knives, and it also prohibited municipalities from having ordinances that prohibited the possession of switchblade knives. Since our ordinance had prohibited the possession of switchblades, we had to change it to conform with state law.
Okay. I just had one question on the resolution. I know it spells out what knives are, but in the resolution, Section 1, it says, no person shall possess a knife in the building. Would that even be like a Boy Scout pocket knife?
The city has the ability to prohibit any type of knives in city buildings owned or occupied or controlled.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. Ms. Laverta, did you want to add something to that?
One of the departments I oversee is facilities, so, and we keep a lot of knives in the building. We have two kitchens. We have lots of knives in the building, so I have a lot of people who have knives. So
you're exempt. I won't arrest you.
Now, Casper, if you have your pocket knife, you are not exempt, and you can arrest them right now. Get them out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you didn't. We're still going to arrest you and get you out of here.
Okay.
Talking switchblades.
We're good?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, moving on to item G4, a resolution establishing the placement of a no-left-turn sign on 51st Street, southbound, approximately 500 feet south of Preserve Way. Alderman Schmidt?
Motion to approve.
I'm a second.
Second. Steve?
Okay, motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. Item G5, convey a limited-term conservation easement to the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, MMSD, for 555 West Airways Avenue.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hearing any opposed, motion carries. Item G6, a resolution to sign the final change order for the construction of the Franklin Water and Wastewater Operations and Maintenance Facilities, 555 West Airways Avenue.
So moved.
Second.
Glenn?
As a point of clarification, this is not a resolution. Went back and forth and was told it did not need to be a resolution. So, title says resolution, but there's no resolution.
Okay. So we just have the... Is that a problem to the attorney with the way the...
No.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. Item G7, status update on the bearing of utilities on West St. Martin's Road from Spring Street to approximately 2,000 feet east.
So moved.
I think that this item was requested by Alderman Mayor to
take no action
no, at this time.
Table?
Motion to table. To the next meeting. The Alderman, the district's not here, and so let her be here to discuss.
Okay, we'll table that to the next meeting. Motion table. We have a who's first second on that?
Taylor D'Andrea.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed. Motion carries. G8, conclusion regarding the appeals of the employee position classification plan placement. Ms. Laverta, would you like to go on that?
In your packet is a council action sheet that also attaches a memo that was reviewed by the personnel committee and a report that was provided by our consultant on the classification compensation study, where they reviewed the appeal requests from the original placements. It identified the positions where no change was recommended, where change in points were recommended, didn't change the grade. And two positions, points, did change the grade, that of deputy city clerk, moving to a grade 7, I believe, and assistant superintendent of DPW moving to a grade 8. Personnel committee recommended the motion that's before you to allow me to make those changes to adjust the people. And for those employees who had an appeal, but still indicate that they're not satisfied. After we finish with the benefits review and work on the employee classification or performance evaluation system, that we need to make movement toward the merit component of the plan, that we would look at rewriting the evaluating those jobs in detail to ensure the job descriptions that were part of the process are accurate, and then if significant changes are made, those positions could be reevaluated at that point. So although it closes the appeal process, it still does leave sort of a third opportunity for consideration of those positions in the future. And the motion as presented does then direct me to make sure the employee handbook and civil service rules are appropriately
Alderman Schmidt?
Yeah, this has been a long, hard process converting the city to this classification program, and so obviously there's bumps along the way. I appreciate the staff's time and effort working with HRGov to come up with this program, and hopefully it does leave some avenues open yet for future consideration to if there are some needs for adjustment. But I think it's a move in the right direction to try to get things going in the right direction.
The only other last piece I will note that I believe I covered in the council action sheet is we had two positions that are now filled that were new ones that didn't have an incumbent through the review process. And the consultant identified during those hiring processes that it may be that our market placement of those two, that being the economic development director and the IT director, needed to be reevaluated. So they're looking at those now, but I didn't want to hold up everything else while the consultant was doing that since there weren't incumbents in the position at the time. But so there may be subsequent information that comes back on those.
Okay. Do you think that the motion as it stands will address the concerns well enough for the clerk's department and any of those other ones that might come forward? And also, would the ones that you were talking about, like the economic development director position, and those other ones come forward at the same time? Or how is the timing on that?
All that... based upon the discussion with personnel, what the motion simply said is that staff be directed to reevaluate positions, position descriptions, and job duties for outstanding appeals as requested by appellant employees during 2016. So anyone who it wasn't approved, we did share with them in advance of personnel committee the language that the consultant provided, but I'll go back to and say, do you want to be put on the list for review? And then the expectation is that we'll be able to get back to it in 2016 after we've done the work on the other benefits analysis to our comparables communities and move forward work on the performance evaluation.
Is it possible that these some of these job positions may need to be rewritten and that you would be looking at that?
Well, that's what we talked about. What we'll do is we'll go back and spend additional time with the employees looking more specifically at tasks and duties and try to identify what is potentially missing in the job description that didn't come up through the employee interview, through the job analysis questionnaire that they filled out or that was reviewed by the supervisor or the employee or the HR during the process. So and it may be that some of them will be determined that, no, the job description, everything's right, and that the person just isn't satisfied with the conclusion. It may be the right conclusion.
Right. What is the lowest G level scale that we have for pay, the pay scale? Is it two? Three? It's two?
I didn't actually bring the table with me. But
I'm asking that because I did notice one of the staff person was at a three, and I didn't know if there was anything lower than that, but I thought that that seemed a little low for what I know about the GS scale. I was in the federal government under the
GS scale. There isn't
GS
a correlation
scale, so.
Between our scale and the federal GS gap.
A little bit of a not a correlation between the use of that, but the pay scales sometimes are very similar to how that's laid out. So, okay. We don't have a motion, do we? Yeah.
Pat, you made the motion?
Tell you if you know.
No, we didn't.
Oh, there's no motion.
Well, then make one. You're in five. Okay, what?
No, there's no
motion. You don't need to make one? Oh, good.
It does have a action required. Move that the job analysis factor. Yeah. So I.
Well, there's an action, right?
Yeah.
Am I making this up or no?
No, one of you needs to actually say I move.
You're on finance or personnel.
Yep.
You wanna?
All right. I'll move that the job analysis factor point total changes recommended by GovHR USA for assessor, clerk, administrative clerk, deputy city clerk and assistant superintendent of DPW with deputy city clerk and assistant superintendent of DPW changing grades to 6 and 8 respectively are hereby approved. That staff be directed to reevaluate positions, position descriptions and job duties for outstanding appeals as requested by appellant employees during 2016, and that the director of administration is hereby authorized to prepare and implement amendments to the current employee handbook and civil service system personnel administration program in a form, format, and manner as he shall determine is appropriate to clearly and accurately report and incorporate said changes.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Did you get all that?
Oh, I got all of it.
Okay. I guess I have a question, Ms. Liberty. Do you feel like you need a separate motion to address the ones that are unresolved yet, or this is clean enough?
No, I think the middle portion covers that, and just notice to you that there are those two other new positions that may come back, I think is
fine. My other question was, may come back. I'm wondering if we need a date on may come back, so this isn't
out there. It says during 2006 right in the motion. 2016.
Right, which is quite a ways away, so I didn't know if we wanted to make it within 3 months or shorter than that.
Don't expect to even probably get close to starting it until end of July, because unless I'm pushing back the benefits review, which I think is important.
Right,
for me.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. G8 and G9, an ordinance to amend the ordinance 2014-2152, an ordinance adopting the 2015 annual budgets for the general fund for the city of Franklin for fiscal year 2015 to provide personal appropriations for personnel costs related to the classification and compensation plan adopted by fire department overtime, highway and parks work allocations.
Second.
We have a motion. Second. Any discussion? We need a roll call on this item, Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Okay. No opposed. Motion carries. The next one, G10, authorization for renewal of a contract with Inspiron?
Is that it? Inspiron Logistics.
Logistics for the emergency notification system.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? There no discussion?
Let me just answer. Hey, Mark, since our first little blip that occurred when we implemented this system 3 years ago, it's worked without any issues?
We had one other programming issue that was discovered when we tried to use the response to text. If in the database the text number was listed as a secondary number for the person and not the primary, then their responses weren't being received. And that was, once we worked out the solution, they had it reprogrammed within that same day. And so we haven't had anything else.
So they've lived up to their end of the bargain, and it's worked great for us.
Yes. Actually, my goal is that in the coming year that I make people more cognizant of some of the opportunities here, such as if you have a group that might need a public hearing or something, we can set up special groups that people can come to the website, log on, and use it just like those notification systems. We're not using anywhere near the amount of service. We bought it as an emergency service and never expanded beyond that, hadn't intended to. But there are other functionalities that we may be able to take more advantage of as more and more people are used to receiving RMS feeds and other notices on their phone. So what I want to do is get more experience so that we have the competency to use it quickly and accurately, and then make the mayor and aldermen available of how you could use that and how quickly we could maybe set some of those things up.
Okay, thanks.
On that note, I have a question. Constituents have told me that they've been a little reluctant to sign up for notification based on how the data would be used. Some of them felt that it would be accessible to certain political people but not others. And could you address on how that the confidentiality, who has access, and if that actually could be used for a political purpose so I can have a solid answer for my constituents?
No, I don't know that there's any way it could be. There's really only one person who has access to that data. There are some legal public records components of it, but early on in the process I did write and submit to the city attorney determination as is necessary under the public records for what aspects of it are not available, because we want people to sign up for the emergency notice, and making that information available as part of public record could deter that. And so
the direct answer to my constituent, if they say X alderman or X person mayor or X political campaign person running, would not have access to any information that all other people would also
right.
not have access.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the answer I'm looking for. Okay, thank you very much. We have a motion and
yep.
a second
yep.
on this item. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. G11, the status of the health insurance marketplace and the potential for bidding out health insurance broker services.
Motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
There
are no opposed. Motion carries to place on file.
I got a license. I got it because I got that first one.
Okay.
Licensing.
Licensing.
All right. So we have first we had a review of temporary use issue for Mulligan's. Refer to staff for review and recommendation on temporary uses. We have a request from the Director of Health and Human Services, Mount Cunt, no action. And then we have five operators, Mayrand, approve with a letter. Tarowski, hold for appearance. Haley, approve. Nerby, approve. Spay, approve.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any questions? Comments? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed. Motion carries. Next, we have item I, bills, vouchers, and payroll approval. We have a motion to approve the net general checking account city vouchers in the range of numbers 159981 through numbers 160126 in the amount of $714,941.81 dated March 2nd, 2016 through March 10th, 2016. Is there a motion approved?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
All those in favor, I guess every motion carries. Next one, motion approving the net roll payroll dated March 4, 2016, amount of $370,331.71 and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $205,202.68 plus any city matching payments where required.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk, take the roll, please.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Motion carries. Motion approving the net payroll dated March 18, 2016, estimated at $355,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $373,000, plus any city matching payments where required.
So move.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion carries. Motion approving the property tax refunds and settlement numbers 16360 through numbers 16364 in the amount of $559.10 dated March 1st, 2016 through March 10th, 2016.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrian.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Motion carries. And
motion to adjourn.
Motion
second.
To adjourn. Second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 7:26.